Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, November 9th, and it's time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, hello to you and your listeners out there in sunshiny land. You know, when the sun shines, it always reminds me of the Old Testament use of the word sun about Jesus Christ. So I always sometimes like to talk about the sun that shines outside and the sun that shines in your heart, you know, as Jesus is the light of the world. And as we all know, light always penetrates darkness, and I guess that's why we all have, and I suspect you do, with your son, have night lights, you know, that sometimes families shine things on walls, you know. Light's very, very important. It kind of directs us and tells us, you know, if we're paying attention to it, where we go and where we shouldn't go. So it's always kind of a nice little thing to remind us what it's always about. So anyway... Aside from that, you know, well, it's all kind of interesting. I think sometimes we forget about some of the basics we have in the Bible about the Old and New Testament and what the word light means, especially the implications to our daily Christian life, especially in this, as many people told me in the Bible class this past Sunday. They said, boy, Pastor Weiss, this world is just getting more and more self-absorbed. And I said, yeah, it is. It's we kind of talked about, you know, the dependence on God. And we see more and more how people are dependent on themselves apart from the Lord. And I just read an article where one pastor says he's afraid to mention the word God because it irritates people. And I'm thinking, this man cannot be a pastor then. You know, you have to be able to mention it, and with all the persecution and things that are going on and many lives that are being taken, especially over in Syria, Iraq, and Mosul, and so forth. Well, don't want to push that aside, but I do have just two main things here. Just kind of an update on this physician-assisted suicide, as I think we've talked about this quite frequently, where we have it in Oregon, Vermont, Washington, Montana, and more lately here this year in California. There tends to be a push, not just for people who are terminally ill, and in all of these states, Oregon, Vermont, Washington, Montana, where it's been used for several years, you can pretty much count on close to 2,000 people here in the United States that have taken the death cocktail and literally committed suicide. So these numbers are quite stunning. One is more than it should be, but that is what it is. Secondly, there is a case that is being used by some physicians and bioethicists that are, of course, very, we would say, loosey-goosey for expanding physician-assisted suicide to take into psychiatric cases. So that people that seem to be suffering mentally, which of course relates to some physical issues, and even for those who are struggling over their Christian life, that when they seem to lose their autonomy, that is, that they're lost to themselves, their loss of value, their loss of things that make life pleasurable and meaningful for them, there are some people now that say, you know, why don't we just, if this is the way they are, and they want to go ahead and take their life, then it must be morally relevant for them to go ahead and enter into physician-assisted suicide. I think this is something that our whole society in the left-hand realm or kingdom needs to be tuned into, especially within those states and pastors who live within those states, because this tends to be expanding and I think drives us back to the basics that as a body of Christ, we need to be informed about this. And there's a young lady at the Hastings Center called Bonnie Steinbach, and she is saying that this is just absolutely crazy. Assisted suicide or death should never be done in any case, and certainly in the case of people who are suffering from psychiatric illnesses. We need to be caring for them. Part of the body of Christ, of course, as you and I have talked about, and His Time has dealt with, and I know Issues, et cetera, have dealt with this, and Pastor D'Onofrio, that we live within the context of Christ, and we need to care and always care and never kill. So within that context, I just wanted to share that that these kinds of things are out there. We need to keep our keep on our knees and pray that these states that that go this direction would eventually get overturned, and that we in the Christian community, especially within these states, although it doesn't impact Missouri, but you have many listeners throughout the United States, that they need to be talking about living the life of Christ in this world and caring for one another, like it says in, well, in one place, of course, Galatians 6:2, to bear one another's burdens. So in that case, I'd kind of like to bear one another's burdens. Another issue here, just to kind of for those people who are taking care of their loved ones, the older adult ones, I just want to briefly get into some things on aging. Most of us are kind of fearful. You know, we don't, especially when we're teenagers, we don't think about growing older. We see our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles aging. We see the hair change from maybe different colors. Although I'll have to admit, my daughters, when I see them, you know, they highlight their hair, and I call them, I said to them, I said, well, you know, you stained your hair again. They said, we don't stain our hair, we highlight our hair. And so, but I think we need to keep in mind that aging is all the way from conception on, and that in Christ, various things happen in aging. And I think the more important thing that aging, of course, it brings on a decline in certainly reproductive capacity, increasing vulnerability, increasing likelihood of death. And it's interesting that in aging, it's 70% environmental and 30% genetic in terms of what happens to us. And that involves a lot of different areas of aging. And I think older adult parishioners will be, as we would say, okay, no matter what their level of frailty or disability is, when we can help them understand that they are not only just dependent on God, but have an interdependency with the body of Christ, and that they are used by God for fruitful service, as the scriptures talk about, and that if we find some isolated, we need to, as a community, we need to bring them into the body of Christ and let them know that apathy can be changed to hope in Christ. Those are a few things that we need to, as caretakers, need to be tuned into in terms of what aging is all about. I realize, you know, when you get into the Bible, these things are quite clear, but to prevent caregiver burnout, there needs to be certain practical limits that are set. There needs to be respite care. There needs to maintain personal priorities of those who are caretaking for the older adults. And I think there needs to be emotional support from the body of Christ. So frequently we find caretakers sort of left alone, taking care of their loved ones, but we need to get back to the body of Christ chat.
I want to go back to a phrase you used earlier, which I think applies to both situations, both you know, the aging as well as, well, really all of life, but we were talking about physician-assisted suicide and now aging. And the phrase you mentioned was morally relevant. Morally relevant versus an absolute truth. You know, our culture doesn't even recognize absolute truth today.
Well, of course not. I mean, we are so into radical individualism, and everything is on the same plane, and everything is relative. For example, this might strike some of your listeners. It would be just like if I were to say to you, well, you know, Andy, Jesus Christ is okay for you, and crystals are good for me, and it's all kind of relative anyway. Or we might say, well, we all believe in the same God, kind of the thing. Or, of course, one of the greatest postmodern relative phrases is pro-choice. That's very relative and debunks the absolute truth that life is created in the image of God, and that image has been restored in Christ. So the Bible is very clear that there is no relative language, you know, that you can sort of do with it what you want. Absolute truth, I have a book on that, and it's quite a stunning book where they go through and demonstrate in our current culture where absolute truth has just been pitched out with the baby in the bathwater out the window. And I think it would behoove all of our listeners as they read their newspapers, you kind of scan the newspaper and you see everything is relative. You know, where is the absolute truth that I will be your God and you will be my people? You know, where's the absolute truth in the Ten Commandments? Where's the absolute truth in the word, you know, God as the creator, redeemer, and sanctified, and so forth? And this goes on and on and on. So that people get caught up by Satan's half-truths. And satanic half-truths, of course, really becomes a relative issue. It's all kind of what you make it out to be.
Half-truths as opposed to whole truths.
Yeah. I mean, Satan's really good at that because, you know, when he says, you know, to Jesus, I mean, or to, let's take it easy, people are more familiar with Eve's situation. You know, did God really say, you know, that if you take this fruit and eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God? And, you know, that's a half-truth. And they kind of like, what? Well, I think, I'm not sure. But, of course, we know what happened there. She took it, ate it, and turned around and gave it to Adam, who was standing right there in so many words saying, I'll be first behind you. And they both fell into sin, and I think we're all familiar with that. But the half-truths are very clear when it comes to the Lord's final three temptations with Satan. And I think there people can go and see how Satan really twists and turns the truth of the scriptures and to suit his best, and how he does that with us every day.
Hmm. Well, we have just about a minute and a half left. Anything else that you want to cover in our last minute and a half, Dr. Weiss?
Well, actually, yes, I do. I'd like to just kind of go back to... how would we say this? I'm trying to find it here. I can't find what I had my notes here written in front of me. Caring for older adults, I just want to kind of get back into that in terms of the physical side. And I realize this is kind of the thing. Where do you find this in the Bible, pastor-wise? You know, in terms of physical safety and how do I help protect the physical being of my loved one, and as a pastor, a DCE, or lay Christian, you know, of a parishioner. And I think that all of this gets into the whole issue of caretaking, of looking at the whole body of Christ. And I know this is repetitive, but the physical safety of those whom are the older adults that have issues with walking and transportation, there needs to be somebody always at the door of a church to help people get in.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be, we understand, minimum stairs, more railing and assistance. Now, this is going to sound maybe a little crass for some people, but bathrooms need to have raised commodes.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be adequate lighting. You know, if you're 80 years old, you need an 80-watt bulb. I've been into some churches in narthexes that it's like entering into a cave. And so I think that in that context, we have to make sure that lighting is good in our churches. These are very basic things to take, but they all kind of center around the Christian community and the witness that we give to those for whom we care for.
There are certainly many things we can do to welcome people of all ages and abilities as well.
You bet.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Blessings on your week.
And you too, and in your listeners. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. Our study of the Daily New Testament reading up next.
Hi, my name is Kara McKenzie, a senior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. It's hard for teens to stay firm in their faith as they go through high school. We certainly don't get much support from our culture, and it's tough for our parents and churches to do it alone. That's why I'm at a Lutheran school, preparing me to succeed in college, serve as a Christian leader, and remain rock solid in my faith. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhssstl.org.
Worldwide KFUO would like to invite you to start and end your day with prayer. At 9 a.m., join us for morning prayer as we look into the Word of God, we pray, and sing sacred music. At 6 p.m., we gather for evening prayer once again as we hear the Word of God, pray, and rejoice in His gift of music. Lift up your heart to heaven with Worldwide KFUO.